Hi, Joel. Oh, it came on. Whew. That terrified me. I was waiting for it, and it still terrified me. Good morning. How is everyone? Again, the woos. I love it. All right. I'm really excited to be here. I'm Kelsey. I'm one of the pastors, and I'm excited just to kind of welcome you guys and get this morning rolling. We have a lot of information for you, so bear with me as I give it to you. And, you know, it's one of those mornings. Literally, I have like 18 notes on my notes. So, are you ready? All right, good. First of all, welcome. We are so glad you're here. We are continuing into our Back to Basics series. Today we get to talk about Jesus, and I think he's pretty cool. So I think it's a good morning to be here. Kind of just going to go back to who is Jesus? Who in the world is he? So it's going to be a good morning, and we're just going to keep trucking through and see where God's kind of leading us. A couple of announcements for you. If you weren't here last week, I introduced this in junior high when I say that word, announcements. They cheer, so if you want to bug John and I when we're doing those things, that's totally fine by me. Poor John is now suckered into this equation too. So a few things to talk about that I will not say what they are. First of all, Welcome Central is a great resource for you today. Let me give you a couple of reasons. One, at Welcome Central after service, Robert, that nice gentleman standing right there, is going to be there in Conanai House. If you sign up with him through Fry's every August and September, part of the money you spend at Fry's goes to help Conanai House. Make sure we get food and stuff in there. So make sure you sign up with him. It's really easy and it costs you no money. You literally just sign up and then swipe the thing and then, right? That's pretty much how it works. Yeah. So it's easy. If you are like me and you shop at Sprouts, you just have to donate money. So that's good for you too. Yeah, someone else shops at Sprouts. Woo! All right. Another thing you will find at Welcome Central, the newsletter went out this last week. If you do not get the email newsletter, first of all, you can sign up for it. Second of all, if you're like, I hate computers and I want nothing to do with them, we have started printing them out back there so that you can get some information. So if you need a printout of the newsletter, just go back there and bug Carol. She will be back there probably with them because she always is. So those are a couple things. Welcome Central is a great place for you to get connected, get some information. You can sign up for the workday there. A lot of stuff is happening there. Cool? Cool. All right, next thing that is not a thing. All right, life group meeting next Sunday after church. There's an informational life group meeting, and you'll notice that inside your bulletin, let me see if I can do this without dropping everything. There's a questionnaire for life groups. If you are interested in life groups, I would love for you to fill this out and turn it in at Welcome Central. Make sure we get it. You can hand it to me. You can hand it to John. And it's a great way for us to kind of start building life groups and getting ready for what is to come. So fill that out and then come to the meeting next Sunday after church in the chapel. Cool? I'm going to do that after each announcement. Oh, no. Shh. They didn't even catch it. This side did. Good job. Next thing, I'm using garbage words, so it's good. Next thing, this Tuesday and Wednesday for junior high and high school, we are doing slip and slide kickball. So Tuesday is high school slip and slide kickball. Wednesday is junior high slip and slide kickball. If you know a junior high or high schooler, send them, tell them to go and bring a towel and don't wear white. All right. Next Saturday is a big day for many, 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 many reasons. The first reason is in the morning from 7 a.m. to 11 a.m., we're doing a work day here. Anyone is welcome, whether you are a master at construction or you know how to build Legos. We want you there, so come, come, come. You can sign up at Welcome Central. There will be food afterwards provided for you. You'll get a little warm because it's warm outside, but it's a great way to serve this campus and make sure that we can continue to use this campus for other groups. After that, you should go to the Haiti Mission Trip Silent Auction. That was a long title. I like that we get random cheers for random things. Next Saturday, starting at 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. at Flicka's, there is a silent auction. Go get some food and go auction a bid on something, I believe is the correct terminology for that. Tells you how good I am at these things. So come to that. It's a full day of lots of church events, so come do that with us. It'll be fun. Then starting next Sunday, next weekend's a big weekend. I like that. next weekend. Next Sunday, there is a new member class on Sunday in C2 starting at 6 p.m. So if you're new to the congregation or you've been here a while and you're like, I want to know what this church is about and I want to kind of plant myself here, come to that class. It's going to be a great time to learn. John will be teaching kind of who we are, what we're about, and where we're headed. So come to that. Then the second to last thing, dance is back. All right, so those of you who just cheered have just entered yourself onto the Dance Ministries team. Congratulations. Starting the 18th, Friday the 18th, we will have dance for junior high and high school students from 5:15 to 5:50, and then for, 4 to 5. I can read my paper. 4 to 5, and then elementary will be 5:15 to 5:50, and then everyone is invited on Sunday from 7 to 8. Right? Cool. Everyone should come dance. I will not be on the dance team. I will dance with you from afar. So it'll be great. You should come. It's going to be a great way just to kind of honor God with our movements, with our bodies, with everything we are, and just have a good time with some community. If you are an expert at dance, come. If you are not very good at dance at all, come. It'll be great. The last thing, you may have noticed there are some papers that are posted, and some of you may have forgotten what these are already. 4 weeks ago, can you believe it's been 4 weeks? We signed up to pray for different schools, right? And so 4 weeks ago, you committed to, some of you, not everybody, and that's okay, some of you committed to pray for the different schools in your neighborhood or different schools that you work at, and you have been walking through, watching God be faithful through prayer. Coolest thing happened to me. Can I just share for a little bit? All right, too bad, I'm going to. Coolest thing happened to me this last Friday. I went into the office, and there's a prayer group that meets here, a mom's prayer group. And so I went and I talked to them and kind of introduced myself and was like, hey, what are you guys doing? What is this for? And it's four ladies from four different churches, well, three different churches, that come and pray for ANLC every single Friday. If you don't know what ANLC is, it's a kindergarten through eighth grade program. Really good school out by Arcadia, okay? And so we talked, and all of them have kids in the school district, and we talked about what would it look like if our church joined you in that. They said, well, you know, we're pretty specific to ANLC, but how cool is it that a whole church wants to be a part of this movement? That we're going to cover our kids in prayer. And these ladies, I'm not kidding, we talked for like 2 hours. It wasn't supposed to be that long. But we talked for 2 hours about what God has been doing and what doors God has opened for Christian men and women to enter into a space they weren't originally a part of. And they talked about how now they're part of parent-teacher organizations and they get to bring in new families and invite them to join them in prayer. Like, how cool is that? And so in talking with them, one of the things they said is, though they pray specifically for ANLC, if you have an ANLC kid and you are a mom, join them, okay? Friday mornings at 8. But they would love to equip us to keep that going. So if you are interested in forming a prayer group for a school, maybe you're a mom at Saguaro. I know we have a ton of Saguaro moms right now. None of them woohooed. Where are they? If you would like to get information on how they kind of do this each week, let me know and I will connect you to them because it's cool to see different churches praying for the different schools. Also, if you have been praying for one of these schools over the last 4 weeks and something, God's been putting something on your heart, tell me. Okay, if you can't find me after service, because I'm all over the place after service, email me. I want to know what God's doing in our community. And I don't get to be in your prayer life. Let's share together. Let's see where God's going to walk us as we infect the community with Christ. That's a weird way to put it, but I liked it, so I'm going with it. If God's been putting something on your heart for a school, email me. Cool? Can we agree to that? I'm really excited. God's going to do some crazy cool things in our community, and we get to be a part of it. So let's start this morning by praying together, and then we can stand and worship together. So let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you that you are a big God, a God who rescues, a God who saves, and a God who can move mountains. Teach us to have faith in that. Teach us to trust you. Teach us to listen when doors are opened and know which ones to walk through. God, open doors that we didn't think could be open. Blow our minds with what you're going to do through this community. And God, this morning as we sing to you, just let it be a sweet offering to you. In your name we pray. Amen.
you guys would like to stand and worship with us today, we're going to go ahead and get started. can take a seat. Thank you for worshiping with us.
And that song is so true, that he is the cornerstone. There's all types of things that happen in life that tend to take us off our path, take us off of knowing him. And yet we know this to be true, that we can lean on him because he is the one cornerstone. He's the one upon whom we can build our lives. Last week we talked about who is God, and there were these eight passages that I put up on the screen, and you're going to see them now up on the screen. In these eight passages, there's a phrase that's repeated again and again and again, and I was telling you this last week, and that this one phrase about God is repeated more than any other in the entire Old Testament. And so I put them up on the screen, and then I took them down, and people came up to me afterwards thinking, we're not speed writers. All right, so they're up there on the screen. You have 10 seconds to write them down so we can get to other things. But in each one of these verses, this is the phrase that is repeated. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in love. In every one of those places in the Old Testament, that phrase is there in some form or another. And the one that cracks me up a lot is the Jonah passage. Jonah has to go and go to Nineveh, and God says, you need to share who I am with these people. Jonah, many of us know the story. He doesn't want to do it. It gets all chaotic for him. And then when he finally does it, they turn their lives around, and Jonah is complaining to God in Jonah chapter 4. He says, I knew you would do this. I knew you would save them because, and then he lists the verse, that you're gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in love. And it cracks me up because Jonah is a recipient of God's goodness, and yet Jonah doesn't want anybody else to have it. The implications of God being that type of a God are many. It means that everything that he does is based on compassionate grace. It means that when you allow him to interact in your life, it means that you don't need to worry about his motives. He always has what's best. That was breakfast. He has what's best in mind. Man, great moment ruined by breakfast. It means that you never have to worry about what he's up to. He always wants what's best for you. He is slow to anger, abounding in love, compassionate and gracious. And over the years, I've had the privilege of interacting with many great people, many of whom are in this room right now. But I have never met a person who lives that out entirely. Just never have. People do a lot of great things, but everybody falls short somewhere along the line. But today, we see the one. We talk about the one who lived this out entirely, who was slow to anger, abounding in love, gracious and compassionate. And his name is Jesus Christ. Father, we pray now as we come into this time that you would speak to each one of us. We pray that you would open our eyes, our ears, our hearts, our minds to receive from you what it is that you have for us. May we not hear anything that I say or see anything that I do, but may your Holy Spirit move in our lives in such a way that we see Jesus Christ more clearly, more fully, so that all men, all people may be drawn to him, the one true Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. easily the most influential person to ever walk the face of this planet. He's all those things and so much more. If you go online and you type in top 10 most influential people and he's not on that list, I would ask the people who came up with that list, are they conscious? Jesus Christ is more than any other human could ever be. Jesus Christ makes those lists, and perhaps there may be some lists that he might not make. Perhaps he doesn't make the top 10 chefs of all time, but yet he took 5 loaves and 2 fish and fed 10,000 people. I think the Food Network would have some type of award for that. Perhaps he might not make the top 10 list of greatest athletes of all time, yet Jesus Christ walked on water. I would imagine the Olympic champion Michael Phelps would say, that's pretty impressive. Perhaps he wouldn't be on the list of top 10 artists of all time, yet he's the one who spoke into being everything that artists look to for inspiration. I would imagine Picasso and Da Vinci and Rembrandt and others would say, that's pretty artistic and impressive. Top 10 philosophers of all time, but even those who don't place their trust in Jesus Christ almost unanimously say that his teachings and his commands changed the world. We could continue, but I think you get the point. This Jesus is truly awesome. The Alpha, the Omega, the Redeemer, the Almighty God, the one true Savior. Different people had different things to say about Jesus Christ, and as he walked the earth and as he walked through these towns along the shoreline of Galilee and Capernaum and Tiberias and Bethsaida and Cana, and he influenced people's lives and he changed people's lives. And keep in mind, these are all small towns. Yet he was so influential, so powerful that the priests from Jerusalem, this major metropolitan city just a little way south of Capernaum, had to come up and see what was going on with this one who was the carpenter's son. Because they couldn't figure out what was happening. The word was traveling that he was different, that he was performing miracles, that he was teaching things that perhaps didn't sit well with some people. And so the priests came up and they saw what he did and they saw him perform a miracle on the Sabbath and they weren't happy. In John chapter 6, it says this, the interaction between the Jews and Jesus, or the priests and Jesus, and says this, that so because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jews persecuted him. Jesus said to them, my Father's always at work to this very day, and I too am working. And get this line, for this reason the Jews tried all the harder to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. This carpenter's son, calling God his own Father. This carpenter's son, fully human, and now claiming full deity. Everywhere he went, people could not help but say, wow. When was the last time you said wow to Jesus Christ? There are multiple responses to Christ found in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then the other New Testament writers have a response to him. And in my favorite book of the Bible, which is Hebrews, we find this passage, and I invite you to turn there in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 to 18. It's also in your bulletin. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews states. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, That is the devil. And free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, he had to be made like them. Fully human in every way. In order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. This next line is tough. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he's able to help those who are being tempted. Who's Jesus Christ? According to the writer of Hebrews, he is the one who shared in their humanity. He shared in our humanity. What does that mean? It means that he took on flesh and blood. He was able to walk like you walk. He was able to breathe like you breathe. He was able to smell things like you smell them. He was fully human. And it's significant that he became a human because it speaks to the value of humanity. Whether or not you believe this about yourself, know this to be true, that you have great value. You have great value no matter what people are saying about you or to you, no matter if you're employed or unemployed, no matter if you're battling a sickness or you're as healthy can be, no matter if you're young or old, you have great value because you're a human being and Jesus Christ shares our humanity. So who's Jesus? He shares our humanity, but yet the writer goes on and he says this. He says, the reason why he shares his humanity is so that by his death, get this, he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. People have all types of fears. I'm afraid of spiders and snakes. Many of you know that. You think it's funny. According to some of you, I have a great fear of vegetables as well. But we have different fears. People have fears. Right now, perhaps you're fearful of what lies ahead. Right now, perhaps you have this fear of what this person next to you is thinking. Fear is real. And what the writer of Hebrews is saying is this, is that he knows that fear is real, and yet he takes it to the next level, and he says this. He says, Jesus Christ is the one who conquered death. He conquers the fear of death. So if my Jesus can conquer the fear of death, he can conquer the fears that are in your life right now. William Randolph Hearst was one of the wealthiest people around during his day. Estimated worth of over $500 million. He was a newspaper powerhouse. And William Randolph Hearst had so much money, he didn't know what to do with it. So in San Simeon, California, he built a 90,000 square foot castle known as the Hearst Castle. This place is magnificent. It is audacious. It is opulent. Inside this house, he put a pool. You can see a pool at the bottom of the hill, and then he put this pool inside. The artwork on the floor of this that's not blue, but it's goldish color. It's goldish color because there are flakes of real gold in that artwork. This man had incredible wealth. And when he threw parties at his castle, they were parties that were no holds barred type parties. The best food, the best entertainment, the best music. It was incredibly awesome. It was a free-for-all. There were no rules but one. And if you violated this one rule, you were immediately escorted off the premises and you were never invited again. Only one rule. And it was this. You could not say the word death. If you said the word death and Mr. Hurst heard you, you were grabbed and taken away, never to come back again. The man who had more money than he knew what to do with could not conquer the fear of death. The writer of Hebrews would love to sit down with Mr. Hurst and love to look at him and say, Mr. Hurst, I can tell you about Jesus. This Jesus that looked death in the face and conquered death so that you don't have to be afraid of death anymore. This Jesus is who you need, Mr. Hurst. But yet, from what we gather, he never knew Jesus Christ. He lived in fear of the one thing that money could not conquer, that being death. So who's this Jesus? He's the one who shares in our humanity. He's the one who conquered death. But what's great is that the writer's not done, and he goes on into verse 16. He says, for surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. Who are Abraham's descendants? You're either putting your arm around him or you're sitting right next to him. Abraham's descendants are us. It's humanity. Jesus Christ doesn't help angels. He helps you. He helps me. He helps repair broken relationships. He helps restore families. He helps give you the courage to keep going when you want to quit. He helps give you purpose in life. He helps you realize that there's more to life than acquiring more and more stuff. He helps you realize that resentment and bitterness are not good choices. He helps minister to those who've lost loved ones and miss them dearly. And you want to know who else he helps? He helps FBC Scottsdale move forward. You see, this Jesus not only conquered death, this Jesus not only understands humanity, this Jesus helps us. He helps us. But he's not done yet. The writer continues on and he says this, for this reason, Jesus had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Jesus Christ, the high priest. A priest had multiple responsibilities. One of them was making sure that sacrifices that people brought were appropriate to present to God. Priests also would, if you had a mildew problem in your house, they would go into your house, inspect your house for mildew, and then they would say you need to leave your house for a while, and then you can come back in after it's cleaned and fully good and fully okay to come back in. So priests were also home inspectors. They also served as doctors. If you had some growth going on your face or on your body, you would go to the priest. The priest would examine it. There was different rituals that they would do. And he would say, he would either declare you clean or unclean. And then there would be a process that you would have to go through. But notice that Jesus Christ isn't just a priest. Notice what it says. It says that he is the merciful and faithful high priest. The high priest had one responsibility. Well, he had a couple of responsibilities, but the one main responsibility that he had was this, was that on the Day of Atonement, one day out of the year, they declared the Day of Atonement, the high priest would take a basin that had blood in it from sacrificed animals. He would carry that basin into the Holy of Holies. Nobody else was allowed to go there. Nobody else was allowed to enter there because the Holy of Holies represented God's presence, and sinful people could not go in there. And so the high priest would enter into there, and you can almost imagine them perhaps trembling because they were the representative of humanity, and they were making atonement for the sins of humanity, not only the sins of the people, but their sin as well. And so the high priest would enter into the Holy of Holies with this basin filled with blood, and he would reach his hand into that blood, and he would splash blood on the altar. And it would bring atonement. It would pay for the price of sin for the entire year. And the next year would happen, and the priest would go into the Holy of Holies again. And the next year would happen after that, and the priest would go in again. The next year would happen. He would go in every single year on the Day of Atonement, sprinkling blood on the altar, looking for the atonement of sin that only God could give. But I want you to think about this. Jesus Christ, the merciful and faithful high priest, and the writer of Hebrews says this: "For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with human hands that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again, the way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood that is not his own. Otherwise, Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world." And listen to this next line: "But he has appeared once for all, at the culmination of the ages, to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself." The high priest brought atonement on an annual basis. The high priest, Jesus Christ, brings atonement on an eternal basis, never needing to be done again. It was his blood that was shed. It was his blood that was shed. It wasn't an animal's blood. It was his blood. It was a once-for-all sacrifice, never to be repeated again. How significant is that? A priest in the Philippines was preaching one morning. After he was done preaching, a woman came up to him at the end of the message as he was greeting people as they left, and she looked at him and said that Jesus Christ has been speaking to her in dreams. And the priest chuckled a little bit and he said, "Really?" He didn't think much about it. That week, he couldn't escape what this woman was saying, and the reason why he couldn't escape what this woman was saying was that there was some sin that he had committed earlier in his life that nobody in his congregation knew anything about. He had repented. He'd asked for forgiveness. He knew that he had been forgiven because Jesus Christ's sacrifice was once for all, but yet he continued to carry this guilt with him. He continued to carry this secret with him wherever he went. And so the next Sunday, he preaches. The woman comes up to him and he stops her and he says, "Has Jesus spoken to you again in your dreams?" And she says, "Yes, he has." He says, "Do me a favor, the next time that happens, ask him to tell you about the sin that I committed when I was in seminary." And she put a smile on her face and she said, "I sure will." Goes through the week, longing to preach again and longing to see this woman at the end of the message, at the end of the service. And he's done preaching and he's at the door and he's trying to get people through because he wants to see this woman. She comes up to him and he says, "So did he speak to you again in your dream?" And she said, "Yes, he did." She had a big smile on her face. He said, "Did you ask him the question about my sin that I committed in seminary?" And she looked at me and she said, "Why, yes, I did." And she didn't say another word. And he said, "Well, you asked him, what did he say to you?" She looked at him with a big smile on her face. And she said, "Jesus said, he doesn't remember." You're here this morning carrying stuff. Christ has forgiven you. He's the merciful and faithful high priest. Shed his own blood so that you can be free. Some of you this morning are carrying stuff that Jesus Christ says, "I've paid for it. It's taken care of. It's done with. It's over. I don't remember it. I am the one who is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. I am the one who has separated your sin as far as the east is from the west. I am the merciful high priest. It is finished. I don't remember the stuff you're carrying anymore. Let it go." Who's Jesus? He shared our humanity. He helps us. He conquers death. He's our merciful and faithful high priest. He's the one who's done something that nobody else could do by sacrificing himself. But the writer of Hebrews isn't even done yet. He's saying, "I'll tell you something else about who Jesus is. Because Jesus himself suffered when he was tempted, he's able to help those who are being tempted." If I were to ask for a show of hands how many of you have been tempted today, I would expect every single hand to go up. If every hand didn't go up, I'd love to talk to you afterwards, because either you just woke up or you're not being real with yourself. We struggle with temptation. And we focus on the big temptations, lust and greed and pride. And we love to look at those and say, "Well, that'd be really difficult." And it is difficult. But I want to break it down a little bit closer to home. We're tempted to gossip. We're tempted to gossip, and Jesus Christ had plenty of people gossiping about him, and I'm sure there were things being said about him that he didn't particularly like, and there was this temptation for him to respond to their gossip and set them straight, yet Jesus Christ didn't go down that path. We're tempted to be bitter and resentful. Jesus Christ was tempted to be bitter and resentful as well. Resenting the fact that the guys that he's hung out with for 3 years turned their backs on him. Resenting the fact that nobody was there for him. Resenting the fact that Peter said, "Hey, I'll be there," and then he wasn't there. He suffered. We're tempted to hold a grudge. And Jesus Christ says, "I've taken care of the grudge." For the writer of Hebrews, he says, who is Jesus? He says this. He says, he's the one who's looked at every temptation that you've faced, and he's the one who was tempted yet did not sin. So who is Jesus? He's our helper. He's the conqueror of death. He's the high priest. He's the one who understands our humanity. He's the one who sacrificed himself so that we can be set free from the guilt and the shame that we carry. He is the one true Savior. and he is the one we desperately need. Who do you say Jesus Christ is? As you look at your life and you think of the answer to that question, how do you respond? Because Jesus Christ is all these things that the writer of Hebrews says and so much more. Yet perhaps for you at this very moment, what you need to know is that he is God and he is Savior. Who is Jesus? He's gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love, separates sin as far as the east is from the west. And he says, that's who I am. Father, we pray now, as we take some time right now to reflect on what you've accomplished in Jesus Christ, we pray that you would speak to each one of us, that you would rescue us, that you would set us free. You are the one true God, and we pray that we not forget that. And Holy Spirit, we pray that you would remind us of who Jesus is. And those of us that are carrying stuff, we'd let it go and allow you to do the work that only you can do through Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. We come to this time now where we remember what Jesus Christ did for us. On the night that Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. And he said, this bread that's broken for you represents my body. Represents my body, meaning my life, the life that I lived for you. It's going to be broken. And he said, every time you eat this bread, remember what I've done for you. And then he took wine and he poured it into a cup. And as he poured it into the cup, he said, this wine represents my blood that'll be shed. It'll be shed so that there can be forgiveness of sin. Every time you drink from this cup, remember that it's my blood that was shed for you. And remember it was shed for the forgiveness of sins. So the bread and the cup are going to come by you, and not just come by you, but as they come by, may you remember, may all of us remember what he accomplished for us so long ago, but so very real today. So on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, he broke it, and he said, every time you eat this bread, remember, this is my body broken for you. So take, eat, and remember. So that same night when he broke bread, he poured wine into a cup, and he said, this represents my blood, which is shed for the forgiveness of sins. Every time you drink this, remember what I've done for you. So take, drink, and remember. Before We have the ushers come forward. I'm going to invite Dan Omblade, who's our church treasurer, and I'm hoping he comes through that door rather soon. Good. Thank you, Dan. Dan is dressed in black like I am, but he's got, that hurt. Dan, we've been praying a lot. You all have been praying a lot, too. And Dan has some pretty cool news to share with us about, not just about what God's doing, but about how God is taking care of us. So, Dan, take
it. Some good news. Some good news. Is this on? Yep, it is. Okay, good. First of all, the campus came through pretty well on the storms. You know, we had a palm tree snap in half, and it all landed on the grass. Could have landed on a roof. It was really good. And that's good. And the preventative maintenance that we did on all of these mesquite trees and stuff really paid off, because we only lost a couple limbs and a few of the old stuff. But we continue to appreciate everything that you all are giving. It helps so that you can see that there's continual maintenance here at the church. I think that bulb went out, or that lamp. And that lamp is about $2,000. And you know that we put both of these up at the same time. So you know this one's going to go pretty soon. But the really good news is that, you know, we have put this out, and it's fell upon your hearts to give. And in the month of August, the amount of giving that was given was double what was in July. So I just want to say thank you very much, the staff, the elders, and everyone here. I just appreciate where your heart is and how much you give. It really means a lot, because it's you who really support this church so that we can be a really great big light in the community here in South Scottsdale. Thank you very much.
So as the elders come forward, let me pray. Father, we thank you so very much for your provision. We thank you for your generosity, and we thank you that you're going to take what is given today and use it for the advancement of your kingdom, for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For this morning, since we're talking about who Jesus is and finding Jesus, and when we find him, we lay our lives down and we find out who we really are and who he really is. So when you guys are ready, if you want to stand and sing with us.
What fortune lies beyond the stars, those dazzling heights too vast to your feet again. Everything I am, reaching out, I surrender.
We're going to get a little more upbeat, so I expect dance moves, something like that.
Glory.
So it is all because of Jesus that we're alive. And so in light of that, it's our prayer that you would experience that all the more in your life this week. He's the one who will never leave you or forsake you. He's the one who paid the price so that you could have eternal life with him. If you have questions about Jesus Christ, please don't hesitate to ask. Write it on the card, and we'll be sure to get in contact with you and answer that question. But please enjoy your day. Please know that he loves you, that he's here to help, and he's doing that very thing. God bless you. Have a great rest of the day.